Je suis avec Samuel Maoz, réalisateur de Foxtrot, qui a gagné le Lion d'argent à la Mostra l'automne dernier. On en avait parlé. Hi, Samuel. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Samuel, actually, you are freezing because we are in Geneva, but we are going to talk about your movie, which is not freezing. On the contrary, it's full of emotion. How did you start to think about such a movie with lots of ideas about the army, about a victim of Holocaust, about a family, liberal family, who refuses to send the son to the army?
I can talk about two factors that motivated me to create Foxtrot. The first is a story that happened to me a long time ago, a personal story. When my eldest daughter went to school, she never woke up on time, and in order not to be late, she asked me to call for a taxi. This habit started to cost us quite a bit of money, and it seemed to me like a bad education. So one morning I got mad and told her to take the bus like everyone else do, and if that's why she'll be late, then she'll be late. Maybe she need to learn the hard way to walk up on time. This was the kind of father I was back then. Anyway, her bus was line 5.
In Tel Aviv?
It's a central bus line in Tel Aviv. About 20 minutes after she left, I hear in the radio that a terrorist blew himself up in line 5 and that dozens of people were killed. I tried to call her, of course, but the cellular operator collapsed because of the unexpected load, I guess. It was also in the beginning of the cellular age. Anyway,
when was it?
It was in 2000. But after 1 hour, she returned home. She was late for the bus that exploded, but in a few seconds, I mean, she saw the bus in the station, and the station started to run, waved her arms, but the bus left the station and she took the next bus. And I asked myself, what can I learn from this experience? Because after all, I felt that, I did something that was right and logical to do. And I realized that I can't learn anything, but I wanted to investigate, to explore, to deal with the gap between the things we control and those that are beyond our control. And this story, somehow, yeah. And this story was my first stimulation. It was the core of the film, and is also related to the philosophical motif of the film, to questions, you know, like, is life a result of a meaningless chaotic chance, or is chance itself a sophisticated, well-arranged plan? Can we direct our fate, and if so, at what price? The second factor is related to my personal war experience and to my first feature film, Lebanon, which
won the Golden
Lion
in the Mostra.
Eight years
before.
Yeah, and it's my personal true story describing my war experience from my visual point of view as a gunner in a tank and from my emotional point of view as a 20-year-old child who never was involved in any kind of violence and one morning found himself killing people. So I had feelings of guilt. And I can say that I suffered, how should I define it, from a small, silent post-trauma. Nothing clinic, nothing like the cliché of the post-traumatic man. I mean, I function, work, create, I'm sociable, I have family, I'm not depressed, the opposite, I'm optimistic, and I don't have nightmares. But this quiet, tricky trauma knocked me out of my life for many years. And looking back, I can say that this is the main reason why I made my first feature film at the age of 47 instead of 30-something. Anyway, so in Lebanon I talked about myself, but after the film came out I realized that I'm not alone, as I thought, and that the Israeli society produces many versions like me. Too many. And suddenly I realized why we behave as we do. And my simple and complex answer was that we are a traumatic society. Our emotional memory from our past traumas, the peak of which was the Holocaust, followed by our survival wars, this emotional and instinctual memory is still stronger than any current reality and logic. The trauma passes from generation to generation, and based on the determination that we are in a constant existential danger, and as a result, in an everlasting war. Now our existential danger is no longer exist. I mean, a technological country with a nuclear weapon can't be in an existential danger. Our traditional enemies are no longer relevant. Part of them not exist anymore. An occupation is not a state of war. But despite this reality, we recently prefer to buy 3 expensive submarines instead of feeding 1 million hungry children and 500,000 elderly people, part of them Holocaust survivors. So in Lebanon, I talked about the trauma. Foxtrot deals with the post-trauma. In Foxtrot, I added an additional layer. I wanted to tell a personal story that reflects the collective. So from a wider perspective, I can say that Foxtrot deals with the open wound and bleeding soul of Israeli society, with the traumatic circle we are trapped in. I mean, we dance the foxtrot. Oh. Every generation tries to dance differently.
You always come back to the starting point.
Like the foxtrot steps, yes, we always end at the same starting point.
The choice of the title was very important to explain either our family, Michael and Daphna, or even the brother. We always come back to the starting point.
Yes.
There is no hope to
I think that anyway, as far as I'm concerned, because anyone can take from the film what he feels and understand, but as far as I'm concerned, I can say that the conclusion of the film is that fate cannot be changed, not because it's divine, but because of the nature of the traumatic Israeli man who shapes the nature of the collective that's stuck in its trauma. And the little step that can maybe save us from the loop of the foxtrot must be done by the leadership, by a brave leader that will do some big step out of this loop. We had once Yitzhak Rabin.
Yitzhak Rabin, and even when they went with Clinton and Arafat.
Yeah, but this was Arafat. I mean, with Yitzhak Rabin, I remember that 2 weeks before he was murdered, he was in some news magazine in the television, and he described the peace process that he's planning to do, and one of the journalists told him, but you know that. The majority of the people are not agree with
the
what
process
you are going to do. And he said, so the majority is wrong. And we need a leader that will understand that from time to time the majority can be wrong. Mm. And you need to do something that is not popular. Mm. But
what about nowadays? The Knesset, only a very small percent of extremists are in the Knesset, but they have a very strong power, and the majority of Israeli people would like peace.
It's split, I must admit. There is even a radical split in our society.
Even?
A radical split, yeah. A bit. More of the half are right wings, and a bit less of the half are left wings. The split is very radical. Hmm.
In your second movie, Foxtrot, we understand there is a critic of the army, but in Israel, youth people has to go to the army for 3 years to keep the passport, the nationality. So
no, it's not to keep the nationality.
No? It's not obligatory?
No, it's obligatory. Yeah, but you don't lose your nationality if you are not...
If you're not going to the army?
No, you are not losing your nationality. No way.
But army is obligatory?
Obligatory, yeah. And if you want to not to do it, you need to go to the shrimps or to be sick or to do something. But yeah, it's obligatory. That's the idea. I mean, the IDF is not an army of mercenaries. This is the people army. Our army reflects us. So the people show that two Israeli soldiers, a child like any other child in his age, he has dilemmas and doubts, he is neither good or bad, he is a product of our society. You know, film does not glorify or defame, but gives a real image. True is not made from absolute good or bad. True is complex and influenced by our state of mind. So I made sure to write, to add a surrealistic layer to the story of the army, because I wanted to write
the choice of comics to
all the surrealistic space
at the border.
Because I wanted to write and direct it as an allegory, in a way that there is not exactly such a roadblock and such a specific reality, because again, as far as I'm concerned, the roadblock was a microcosmos of our society, an apathetic and anxious society, and out of our distorted perception because of our terrible past traumas. The last scene with the car and the two couples is a climax of an unhealthy situation, a situation that's getting more and more crooked, like the container that they live in. The Mercedes burial expresses repress and denial. We prefer to bury the truth in the mud that we created rather than confront it and ask ourselves penetrating questions.
And the choice of the comics to express?
First of all, I wanted to... I wanted that the father, Michael, will see that Jonathan saw his secret. He couldn't maybe point it, but everybody knew that he's hiding something. And also, it's also a kind of trick, because before the sequence between them, you give a kind of short introduction, how they met, how they married, but not in a rough way, in a gentle way. Michael is architect. I want that to show that his son took something from him, at least, you know, his hand. So that's why I chose to use the illustration scene.
Can you tell us about your biography? What have you done before making your first movie?
I was a production designer. I made some commercials and video arts, and then I made a big dance art film for the MoMA, for the Museum of Modern Art in New York. I also doing some sculptures, so I present them from time to time. I wrote a book that I need to finish, and I also wasted time, I admit.
But you were recognized by the cinema with the two lions in the Mostra.
Yeah.
So is it a stimulation for your next movie? Are you already writing?
Yeah, I'm writing. I have at least five feature films in my head, so I'm not searching for my next idea. I just don't want to waste time again. I want to do it as fast as I can. But still, I'm not doing it for prizes or for festivals. So the lions are a great compliment, and I must say that they helped me to raise the budget to my next. Now I can, after two feature films, I can at least feel safe that I could continue to make feature films, because this is not something that that everybody earns.
And you've got enough idea for five fiction movies.
Yeah.
And
after five, I will need to think, what will I do next?
But as we understand, you like a different way to express your creativity.
Yeah, not only cinema, but I want to now to focus on cinema because I think that this is my, this is the, let's say, the field that I feel in my best.
And there's tonight the presentation of your movie Foxtrot here in the Gritli. How do you feel being in Switzerland? Although it's very cold. I'm not talking about the...
I'm already 5 days in Switzerland.
So how do you feel?
I was in... what was this name of the city with the festival?
Lausanne?
No, near Lausanne. Ask him.
Where he has been in Switzerland?
What?
Il a été dans quelle
ville
en Suisse?
What is the name of the city that we ate today?
Fribourg,
Fribourg. Sorry, what can I say? Every day a new city.
So unfortunately,
and Zurich also.
Zurich, of course. Toda, Samuel, and we are looking forward for the next movie.
Okay.
Thank you so much.